Sometimes you just feel that you just want to be here the whole week, eh? Don't face that bad, ugly world out there. You see, that's what everyone outside, not outside, this is what we need to take with us wherever we go. And I just strongly feel that I'm going to walk away a little bit from what I prepared. I think there's just so much confirmation this morning. Some of the people here were in the first church service as well. And I just know that the Holy Spirit wants us more to be ministered to today than actually we need to preach or something like that. So I'm going to step away a little bit from what I've prepared, and I'm going to skip a part of the sermon that I had before. So what I want to start sharing is just like on Wednesday morning, I just went walking, you know, 10 o'clock. I just felt like, you know, I just need to get out of the office. There's just a few things in my heart that I really need to deal with. There's a few things that I feel that God wants to deal with me, you know. And it was such a blessing, you know, just such a blessing to be able to let go of a few things, you know. And I think this sermon, I called it something like dealing with the Pharisee issues in our lives. And as I said, I'm going to change it a little bit and walk away a little bit from the exact outline I had, just because of what I just see God is doing or the Holy Spirit is doing this morning. And, you know, Jesus many times had an issue with the Pharisees and, you know, had fights with them. And I think you know the background quite well. But one of the things was that here in Matthew 23:25-28, and I remember when I was a young believer and I read it. Maybe you can put it up there at the back. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it as I'm speaking. You know, I thought like, wow, Jesus, this is hard words. This is, you know, you're really knocking these people and you're really turning them upside down in many ways. And then basically Jesus had this issue with the Pharisees cleaning themselves in an outward manner. You know, all the rituals and all the things, and you can read the scripture there at the back. But then he had this problem with their hearts, the corruptness of their hearts, just the dead works, the religion, the things they went through without properly connecting with him, you know, properly walking in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to skip quite a bit now here. Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, and it's so easy for us to sometimes go into Pharisee mode. You know, when we just go through the motions and we put ourselves under a unhealthy type of a law thing, you know, where we just want to, you know, justify so many things on our lives, etc. And I remember in 2002, or maybe a year or two even before that, and one of my classmates, Quibus, you know, I saw so much change in his life, you know, and I just saw this young man changing. And then after a year and a half, you know, he actually led me to Jesus, you know, and that's where my life has changed. But you see, without him sharing the gospel, I could see that this person was changing. I could see how the Holy Spirit was working in his life. So he didn't have to give me a whole theological download of information. You know, his life was his testimony about what God was doing in his own life. And I went walking Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, I just took my dogs and I went, you know, my boss isn't too difficult, so I was just allowed to do that in a sense. My boss is in South Africa, if you can put it like that, but nevertheless. I just said to the Lord, you know, there's just a few Pharisee things in my life I want out. There's a few things I just don't want to battle with anymore, stuff that I just had to get out of my system, you know. And I think when we are young or newly saved, I just had a conversation in tea time with someone. You know, it's so easy for us. Then, you know, you can't get enough of the word. You can stand in praise and worship. You can listen to gospel music all the time. The whole world can stand still in a sense. And then sometimes as you grow and you are saved for 5 or 10 years, and I'm not saying it's always like this or I have to be this or anything. You know, I just see many times that we tend to go through the motions. You know, we come to church or go to small group or you do this or that, maybe even you tithe, and it's just because you feel it's the right thing to do. And then your relationship with Jesus, you know, become, in Afrikaans we say afgewater. It becomes a bit flimsy, you know, watered down, yes. You know, and it's there, but it's not like this first love. And in our church group in South Africa, Namibia, and the UK, we've got this this watchman's block. And one of the people, and it was confirmed, you know, posted just there and said, you know, she just feels so many people in the church need to return to their first love, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that might sound a bit like a cliche because it's something I guess all of us know. But, you know, think of if you are married, maybe you think of that time when you were newly married, you know, when it's just like you and that person, you can just talk forever, you know, or when you were newly saved, you know, that you were just like want to read the word forever and you can read and read and just can't get enough of it. And sometimes this Pharisee thing creeps in where we tend to outwardly, that's what Matthew 23 were talking about, outwardly things would look okay. You have the cool face, you go to church, everything seems to be fine. But on the inside, there's scars, there's anger, there's hopelessness, there's rejection or hatred or whatever it might be. And I've been in church now for a few years and I've experienced it myself and I've seen it in many lives. That's why I know it's not a hypothetical thing I'm saying this morning. It's something that really happens from time to time. Now, this is the part where I just feel I want to step away a bit, little bit from what I exactly prepared, because just in the first service and now I just feel so strongly in my heart, this is where, you know, God wants to touch us even more this morning. If you are remotely in that place or mode, I've prayed many times for myself or people with that, and that is exactly what I felt Wednesday morning when I just said, Lord, switching down this stupid laptop now, I'm closing every book, everything, I'm just going to go walk. I just need to spend time with you right now and need to deal with a few things. And you know, when we were in time like this before, we can close the door big time for the Holy Spirit if you want to. You can do it. I've done it, okay? But it's not going to help you a lot. So if we say, Lord Jesus, this might hurt, it might feel even embarrassing or whatever, although the Holy Spirit won't embarrass you. But if you open that door of your heart, you know, the Holy Spirit will come in and He will minister to you. And I could just sense God working in our lives this morning. And, you know, I was, that's the thing. I'm just sharing a bit of out of my own life, what I felt this past week. And, you know, Pastor Ross from Cape Town Shofar, he was preaching here last week over the long weekend. And I was working through this thing. And I think that 40 minutes I went to walk, yes, I can walk that far. That was amazing. You know, that was the best time probably this year I had in terms of quiet time. Not necessarily sitting with the word in front of my desk or something, studying it or reading a book, a thick book. That is blessed also. You also need to spend time in the word. That's, you know, I'm for that. But at that stage, I just need to deal with a few things. And it's not always, God can meet you anywhere, you know, but it just blessed me so much. You know, I just felt, many of you will remember maybe that song of Freddie Mercury, I Want to Break Free. You know that song? Who knows that song? Okay? There's a few people that was born before the Lady Gaga generation and those things. So, but I just had that song in my heart, you know. I just had that thing in my heart. I want to break free of a few things. So maybe, and I think God is continuously doing a work in our lives. And the moment God is, or the Holy Spirit is stopping to work in our lives, it's because we are shutting the door. We are saying to Him, we are now sanctified enough, we can take it from here. But you see, then we're going to that Pharisee mode, that place where we just start to go through the motions and stuff because you can't change yourself. Please try it at home. It's not going to work. Scripture says so. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God and Jesus Christ to do this work in our lives. And then, yeah, as I said, I was just that religious spirit. You know, many times when we do small group training with our small group facilitators, you know, we'll say your biggest enemy is the religious spirit. That thing when we say, so Skola, how are you feeling today? No, fine, Pastor. JP, how are you? How are you? No, awesome. Meantime, you crashed your car, your boss has fired you, the whole world is falling apart. But because we want to have this outward, good-looking Christian face, being in control thing, you know, we just say, no, everything is fine. I've done it. Have you done it? But, you know, you hear what I'm saying this morning. The thing is just, if you go to 1 John 1:7-9, I think, if you go to a brother or sister or someone and you say, listen, I need to cry. I need to talk to you about sin or I'm failing or whatever. You need to minister. Please pray with me. Then there's time for the Holy Spirit. There's time for Jesus to walk into your life and for you to get healing, to get deliverance, or maybe a breakthrough, or whatever it might be. But we live in a society where it looks like the cover of a magazine with this perfect person at the front, you know, this perfect face, this perfect... Those people, have you seen on magazines, they never have wrinkles or have fat like me or anything like that. They are perfect, but that's not how people are. I've many times thought, like, you know, why does the guys in Hollywood with the heaps of money go through 7 divorces or end up in rehab at 50 or whatever? Just because those things can't fulfill you. We need Jesus in our lives. And something that I just feel, and I've seen so much confirmation, especially also when we worship and the words we got in the first church service, is that Jesus really wants to get us out of that religion thing of being honest, of being, you know, not just the good Christian face in many ways. He wants to break that religion in our lives. And the thing that I really have on my heart these days is joy, you know. That God wants us to enter to a place where we can experience joy, not happiness. We'll get to that a bit later. But joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know that? It's the second one that was its first love. And then it says joy. Because if I were to share the gospel with someone, man, my body language looks like this. And someone's going to think, oh, I don't want to serve that Jesus. It doesn't look like a lot of fun. You know, you see that person can save me and maybe even make my life better or heal me or cure me or whatever. You know, then someone else is not going to be convinced that much. But that's the thing, that religious spirit, the thing of the Pharisees, it comes like a python. And you know, if a lion attacks you, it will eat you up in a minute or less. I don't know. Depends how hungry it is. But you know, a python, it curls around its prey, and then slowly it pressures the air out of that animal or whatever until that thing actually suffocates and dies. And that is what the enemy also wants to do in our lives. You know, if I can use the word people that backslide or stuff, it's not something that usually happens overnight. It's something that happens slowly but surely. It creeps in, and then someday you talk to someone, and then you're not even excited about the day you got saved anymore. It does happen. It happens to all of us, and that's something we really need to be careful of. Now, I was talking about Pastor Ross, and he sent me an email with a video clip on Friday sometime in the day, but I didn't really look at it. And then Saturday morning, I was ending off my first sermon, not the exact one I'm sharing right now. And then I thought, I'll just have a look what it's about, because I didn't look. And it really was, you know, when you play darts and you throw the dart and it hits the bullseye, it hit like a bullseye in my heart. And I just feel it's for us here today. And I want to share it with you. I just want you guys to have a look at it. And I just want you to just embrace. It's this guy, and I'm not even know his name. But then he just says there at a certain place, he says that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. Okay, now there's times to be serious. If you're a medical doctor and you're operating someone, it's not time to throw around that scalpel and be funny. You know, you can kill someone or the guy can die. Yeah. But you'll see what I mean. And when I came back on Wednesday morning afterwards, and I just feel the Lord made my heart lighter. I felt so much joy. Something where you just wanted to hug someone. After the first church service, Liesl was just sharing about, you know, she was talking to someone in church, and that person just said, but she doesn't have any joy anymore. And then she actually thought in her own life, but it's also something she's battling with. And she really went to God and asked God for that biblical joy, you know. And then she just testified the next morning, you know, how she just started to feel joy, a place of wanting to put your hands in the air and just starting to thank God for who He is, for what He's doing in your life. Because I think we are many times I mean, I don't even want to talk about newspapers. You can seriously get depression. I read them every day because I love knowing what's happening in the world. But after a newspaper, you should almost get healing of all the pain and hurt and stuff that's happening in this world around us, okay? And we shouldn't shut the world out and be our little church and stuff. The church are the solution for this world. That's God's plan A, and His only plan is the church, okay, and the gospel and the good news. So I want you to have a look at this, and as I said, it just hit something on my heart that was just like spot on, and it's just about this guy sharing about a bit of joy in his life. I'm going to keep quiet now, and please watch the clip with me.
I remember a few years ago sitting watching the sunrise. It was a typical misty Irish morning, and there was a magical stillness in the air. Something happened that day that I didn't see coming. You see, I've grown up in church. I've been surrounded by the fact that Jesus loves me since I was born. But that day, something new flooded my soul. My eyes were opened, and I was totally overwhelmed by the reality of God. That I was not alone, lost in life, that I was not condemned, but that I was free. And I don't know what happened, but this uncontrollable urge took over me. I jumped to my feet and started sprinting through the fields like a wild man, laughing and crying with pure joy. That was my first taste of the art of celebration. Since that day, I've learned that life has a way of draining that childlike wonder from us. Whether it's through our own failures or disappointments, whether it's suffering or betrayal, or even just familiarity, that's why we put up our defenses, isn't it? That's why we become numb. We pull back from life and become spectators because we're afraid of being hurt again. But the good news is, Jesus is always doing a new thing. He's not finished with us yet. We may doubt, we may feel like we are broken beyond repair, but He is the peace in our troubled sea. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Recently, we made a theological breakthrough as a community, and it has changed everything about our approach. We realize that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. You see, there's an irrepressible laughter in the heart of God, and the whole universe cannot contain it. He is the one who invented celebrations and feasting and holidays. He is the one who sings and dances over us. When He suffered the cross, He did it for the joy set before Him. And that joy was knowing that you and I would be fully free, no longer captive to our sin. Yes, the whole human story is described in terms of a celebration, the marriage of Christ to His bride, the church. Our God is the ultimate artist of celebration, the inventor of the party, and the healer of the broken. Now, happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness is an emotion, a superficial response to pleasant circumstances, but joy is deeper. It's a spiritual discipline. We as people are much more inclined towards negativity and cynicism. We don't find it easy or even natural to pursue joy, and that's why God in His Word actually commands us to celebrate. We must wrestle for our blessing. We must fight for our joy. How do we then remind ourselves as a wounded church family that we still have a reason to sing? How do we move from the edges and fringes of the party into the center? Well, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to do that, we have to once again open up our hearts to wonder and beauty. I'm not saying to be fake or put on a false smile, but rather to always find a reason to rejoice, even if we are in the darkest circumstances. We come with a gospel worth celebrating before a celebrating King. And we think our response as worshippers should be obvious. We need to get down to the serious business of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And after all, heaven's going to be the greatest party of all time, and we need to start practicing now. So don't get caught up in your guilt or failure. You are forgiven, you are free, and you're worth more to God than you could ever imagine. So come on. With a childlike heart, wide-eyed with wonder, let's rediscover the art of celebration.
This clip, 50 years ago in church, I'll probably be thrown out of church, called the heretic, burn on a wooden fire or something. But you see, I think it's actually representing a lot of what I just felt in my heart this week. And I just feel it's not just a clip, it's part of the sermon. I think there's a lot of truth in it. There's a few things we need to catch. And I just finally want to end off by saying, because I just feel we're going to pray afterwards for people, and I can't tell you more. The Holy Spirit needs to do it. That be careful of that thing of the Pharisee habits slipping into your life. If you sense or pick it up, cast that thing out in Jesus' name. Okay? Because that religious spirit just wants to smother your relationship with Jesus Christ. It wants to make that it's just this dead thing going through the motions type of stuff. Okay? But I think something that the clip represents is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So if you're spiritful, it should actually be in our lives. You should be able to jump up and down. And just looking about life around us, many times we say life is so hard. You know, it's so tough and it's so difficult and stuff. And yes, the challenges will be there. Paul and the guys were crucified upside down. I'm not saying it's all just fun and laughter all the time. But you know, we need to live from a place of joy as well, about being in relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing what He's done on the cross. And guess what? It's called the good news. The gospel is the good news. So I just feel when we worship, especially, you know, that's why I just let time go, because I just felt that the Holy Spirit was doing the ministry. We shouldn't have said anything. And I just felt this is the part that should have been shared. And now here at the end, JP or Harry or someone can just come to the worship team. I just feel if you are here this morning and you just feel, because as I said, we can so easily shut the door, and you just feel there's something in your heart you want to pray with. I think myself and one or two of the people will be here. And if you feel maybe that Pharisee habits or things have crept in here or there, you will know. It's not a shame. It's not something bad, you know. It's just like, don't go home with that thing in your heart. I really believe that God wants to set us free, okay? Isaiah 61, you know, the good news, you know that part. And I would like to pray with people. So the band is just going to lead us there a little bit. And I just want you spontaneously, if it's not for you, please have an awesome Sunday. Remember next Sunday when it's the Awakens Conference in Swakopmund, just one church service. But I want to ask you, don't go home now. I'm just going to maybe just sit here for a while. And then if you feel it's time to go, please leave silently. If you feel you want to just stand here a bit, if you feel you want to pray with someone, I would love to pray with you. But I know and I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit wants you to laugh, to have joy afterwards. Okay, and if you need to deal with someone, let's pray with someone this morning. Amen. So I just want to call you to the front if you feel there's something in your heart you need to pray with.